Osho, My Way, the Way of the White Clouds. Discourse number 6, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
About 2 months, we were walking along the road in the rain. They came to a very muddy patch in the road, and the younger of the 2 months saw a girl standing there, waiting to cross, but not get her dress dirty. The younger monk picked her up and took her across and set her down on the other side. The 2 monks walked on, and after some hours came to the city. Just before entering the city, the older one said to the younger one in a very angry voice, "You should not have done that. We're not supposed to associate with girls." And the younger one replied, "I set her down. Are you still carrying her? Could you talk to us about the alternative to suppressing and expressing our emotions?"
Man is the only being who can suppress his energies or who can transform them. No other being can do either. Suppression and transformation, they exist as two aspects of one phenomena, and that phenomena is that man can do something about himself. The trees exist, the animals exist, the birds exist, but they cannot do anything about their existence. They are part of it. They cannot stand out of it. They cannot be the doers. They are so merged with their energy, they cannot separate themselves. Man can do. He can do something about himself. He can observe himself from a distance. He can look at his own energies as if they are separate from him. And then either he can suppress them or he can transform them. Suppression means only trying to hide certain energies which are there, not allowing them to have their being, not allowing them to have their manifestation. Transformation means transforming, changing energies towards a new dimension. For example, sex is there. There is something in sex which makes you feel embarrassed about it. This embarrassment is not only because society has taught you so. All over the world, many types of societies exist, have existed. But no society, no human society has taken sex easily. There is something in the very phenomena of sex that makes you embarrassed, guilty, conscious. What is that? Even if nobody teaches you anything about sex, nobody moralizes about you, about it. Nobody creates any conceptions about it. Still, there is something in the very phenomena that you are not at ease with it. What is that? First thing, sex shows your deepest dependence. It shows that somebody else is needed for your pleasure. Without somebody else, that pleasure is not possible. So you depend. Your independence is lost. This hurts the ego. So more a person is an egoist, more he will be against sex. Your so-called saints are against sex, not because sex is bad, but because of their egos. They cannot conceive themselves being dependent to somebody, begging for something to somebody. Sex hurts the ego most. Secondly, in the very phenomena of sex, the possibility of rejection is there. The other can reject you. It is not certain whether you will be accepted or rejected. The other can say no. And this is the deepest rejection possible. When you approach somebody for love and the other rejects you, this rejection creates fear. The ego says it is better not to try than to be rejected. Dependence, rejection, the possibility of rejection, and still deeper, in sex you become just like animals. That hurts human ego very much, because then there is no difference. A dog making love and you making love, what is the difference? Suddenly you become like animals. And all the preachers, moralists, they go on saying to men, don't be an animal, don't be like animals. That is the greatest condemnation possible. In no other thing you are so animal-like as in sex, because in no other thing you are natural. In everything else you can be unnatural. A man is eating food. We have created so much sophistication about eating that you are not like animals. The basic thing is like the animal, but your tables, your table manners, your the whole culture, etiquette that you have created around food is just to make it distinct from animals. Animals like to eat alone. So every society creates it in the mind of every individual that to eat alone is not good. Share. Eat with the family. Eat with friends. Invite guests. No animal is interested in guests, in friends, in family. Whenever an animal is eating, he wants nobody to come near. He goes into loneliness. If a man wants to eat alone, you will say he is animal-like. He doesn't want to share. his habit of eating is natural, not sophisticated. Around food we have created so much that hunger has become less important, taste has become more important. No animal bothers about the taste. It is a basic necessity. Hunger is fulfilled, the animal is satisfied, but not man. Hunger is not the point, as if something else is the point. More important is taste. More important the manners. More important how you eat, not what you eat. In everything else, man has created his own artificial world around him. Animals are naked. That's why we don't want to be nude. And if somebody is nude, suddenly he hits our civilization totally. He cuts the very roots. That's why so much antagonism against naked people all over the world. If you go and move naked on the street, you are not hurting anybody. You are not doing any violence to anybody. You are absolutely innocent. But immediately the police will come in. The whole surrounding will become agitated. You will be caught and beaten and put into a jail. But you have not done anything at all. A crime happens when you do something. You have not been doing anything, simply walking naked. But why the society gets so angry? The society is not so angry even against a murderer. This is strange. But a naked man in society is absolutely angry. Because a murderer is still human. No animals murders. They kill for eating, but they don't murder. And no animals murders in his own species. Only man. So it is human. The society can accept it. But nudity, the society cannot accept. Because suddenly the man makes you aware that you all are animals. Howsoever hidden behind the clothes, the animal is there. The nude, the naked animal is there. The naked ape is there. You are against the nude man, not because he is nude, but because he makes you aware of your nudity and the ego is hurt. Clothed, man is not an animal. Eating habits, manners, man is not an animal. Language, morality, philosophy, religion, man is not an animal. The most religious thing is to go in a church, in a temple, to pray. Why it is so much religious? Because no animal goes to a church and no animal prays. It is absolutely human. Going to a temple to pray. It just makes the distinction absolute that you are not animals. But sex is the activity, whatsoever you do, howsoever you hide it, whatsoever you create around it, the basic fact remains animal. And when you move into it, you become like animals. Because of this fact, many people cannot enjoy sex. Because they cannot become totally animals. Their ego won't allow. So ego and sex, this is the conflict. Sex versus ego. A more egoist a person, more against sex. Less egoist a person, more involved in sex. But even the less egoist feels. Feels less, but it still feels. Something is wrong. A guilt. And when one moves deeply into sex, the ego is lost. And when the moment comes nearer, when the ego is disappearing, fear grips you. So people make love, go into sex, not deeply, not really. You just make the superficial so that they are making love. Because if you really make love, all civilization will have to be dropped. Your mind will have to be put aside, your religion, philosophy, everything. Suddenly you will feel a wild animal is born within you. The roar will come to you. You may start actually roaring like a wild animal, screaming, groaning. And if you allow it, language will disappear. Sounds will be there, just like birds or animals making sounds. Suddenly, the whole civilization of a million years is dropped. You are again standing like an animal in a wild world. There is fear. And because of that fear, love has become almost difficult. And the fear is real. Because when you lose the ego, you are almost insane. You become wild and then anything can happen. And you know that anything can happen. You may even kill, murder your beloved. You may start eating her body. Because then controls are removed. Because of this suppression seems to be the easiest way to avoid all this. Suppress or allow only as much as will not lead you into danger. Just a part of it which can be controlled always, and you remain in control, and you manipulate, and you allow up to extent. And then you don't allow. And then you close yourself and shut yourself. Suppression exists as a protection, as a safeguard, as a security measure. And religions have used this security measure. They have exploited this fear of sex and they have made you more afraid. They have created an inner trembling. They have made sex the basic sin. And they say, unless sex disappears, you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. They are true in a sense and still wrong. I also say, unless sex disappears, you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. But sex disappears only when you have accepted it totally, not suppressed, but transformed. Religions have exploited the human fear and the human tendency to be egoistic. And they have created many techniques how to suppress. It is not very difficult to suppress, but it is very costly because your whole energy becomes divided into itself, fighting. and then whole life is dissipated. Sex is the vital most energy, the only energy, I say, which you have got. Don't fight with it. It will be a wastage of life and time. Rather transform it. But how to do it? How to transform it? What we can do? If you have understood the fear, then you can understand the clue, what can be done. The fear is there because you feel that the control will be lost. And once the control is lost, you cannot do anything. I teach you a new control. The control of the witnessing self. Not the control of a manipulating mind, but the control of a witnessing self. And I tell you that that control is the supreme control possible. And that control is so natural that you never feel that you are controlling. The control happens spontaneously with witnessing. Move into sex, but be a witness. The only thing to remember is that I must encounter the whole process. I must see through it. I must remain a witness. I should not become unconscious, that's all. Become wild, but don't become unconscious. Then there is no danger in wildness. Then wildness is beautiful. Really, only a wild man can be beautiful. A woman who is not wild cannot be beautiful. Because the more wild, the more alive. Then you are just like a wild tiger or a wild deer running in the forest and the beauty of it. But the problem is, don't become unconscious. If you become unconscious, then you are under unconscious forces. Then you are under the forces of karma. Whatsoever you have done in the past is accumulated there. That accumulated conditioning can take grip of you and move you into certain directions which will be dangerous for you and for others. But if you remain a witness, that past conditioning cannot interfere. So the whole method or the whole process of becoming a witness is the process of transforming the sex energy. Moving into sex, remain alert. Whatsoever is happening, observe it. See through it. Don't miss a single point. Whatsoever is happening in your body, in your mind, in your inner energy, the new circuit is being made. The body electricity is moving in a new way, in a new circular way. Now the body electricity has become one with the partner, with the wife, with the concert. And now, an inner circle is created. And you can feel it. If you are alert, you can feel it. You will feel that now you have become a vehicle of a vital energy moving. Remain alert. Soon you will become aware that more the circuit is created, the thoughts are dropping. They are dropping like yellow leaves from a tree. Thoughts are dropping. The mind is becoming more and more empty. Remain alert, and soon you will see that you are, but there is no ego. You cannot say I. Something greater has happened to you, greater than you. You and your partner both have dissolved into that greater energy. But this merger should not become unconscious, otherwise you miss the point. Then it is a beautiful sex act, but not transformation. It is beautiful. Nothing is wrong in it, but not transformation. And if it is unconscious, then you will be always moving in a rut. Again and again, you will like to have this experience. The experience is beautiful as far as it goes, but it will become a routine. And each time you have it, again more desire is created. More you have it, more you desire it. And you move in a vicious circle. You don't grow. You just rotate. Rotation is bad, because then growth is not happening. Then energy is simply wasted. Even if the experience is good, the energy is wasted, because much more was possible. And it was just by the corner, just a turn, and much more was possible. With the same energy, the divine could have been achieved. With the same energy, the ultimate ecstasy is possible. And you are wasting that energy into momentary experiences. And those experiences will become by and by boring, because repeated again and again, everything becomes a boring thing. When the newness is lost, boredom is created. If you remain alert, you will see first changes of energy in the body, second dropping of the thoughts from the mind, and third dropping of the ego from the heart. These three things have to be observed, watched carefully. And when the third has happened, your energy has, that sex energy has become meditative energy. Now you are no more in the sex. You may be lying with your beloved, bodies together, but you are no more there. You are transplanted into a new world. This is what Shiva goes on talking in Vigyan Bhairav Tantra and in other Tantra books. He goes on talking about this phenomenon. You are transmuted. A mutation has happened. This will happen through witnessing. Either you can suppress and can become so-called human beings, bogus, superficial, hollow within, just dummies, not authentic, not real. If you follow suppression, if you don't follow suppression, if you follow indulgence, you will become like an animal, beautiful, more beautiful than so-called civilized men. But just animals. Not alert, not aware, not conscious of the possibility of the growth of the human potential. If you transform the energy, then you become divine. And remember, when I say divine, both things are implied in it. The wild animal with its total beauty of being is there. That wild animal is not rejected and denied. He is there, richer, because more alert. So all the wildness is there and the beauty of it. And all that civilization has been trying to force is there, but spontaneous, not forced. once the energy is transformed, nature and God meet in you. Nature with its beauty, God with total grace. This is what a sage means. A sage means a meeting of nature and the divine, a meeting of the created and the creator, a meeting of body and soul, a meeting of that which is below and of that which is above, a meeting of the earth and the sky. Says Lao Tse that Tao happens when earth and heaven meet. And this is the meeting. Witnessing is the basic source. But it will be difficult to become a witness in a sex act if you are not trying to become a witness in other acts of your life. So try it the whole day. Otherwise, you will be in a self-deception. If you cannot become a witness while walking on the road, don't try to deceive yourself. You cannot become a witness while making love. Because just walking on the road, such a simple process, and you cannot become a witness. You become unconscious in it. How you can become a witness while making love? Because the process is so deep. You will fall unconscious. You fall unconscious while walking on the road. Try it. Even for a few seconds, you will not be able to remember. Try it, walking on the road. Just try that. I will remember. I am walking. I am walking. I am walking. After a few seconds, you have forgotten. Something else has popped in the mind. You have followed some other direction. You have completely forgotten, and suddenly you remember that I have forgotten. So if such a small act like walking cannot be made conscious, it is going to be difficult to make love a conscious meditation. So try with simple things, simple activities. While eating, try it. While walking, try it. While talking, listening, try it. Try from everywhere. Make it a constant hammering inside. Let your whole body and mind know that you are making an effort to be alert. Only then, someday in love, the witnessing will happen. And when it happens, ecstasy has happened to you. The first glimpse of the divine has descended upon you. And from that moment onwards, sex will not be sex at all. And sooner or later, sex will disappear. This disappearance gives you brahmacharya. Then you become a celibate. Monks in the Catholic monasteries are monks following traditional Jainism, or other types of monks are only for namesake celibates, because the mind goes on making love more than your mind. The whole sex becomes cerebral, which is the worst possibility that can happen, because it is a perversion. If you think about sex, it is a perversion. Making love is natural. Thinking about it, constantly being involved inside in the mind, is a perversion. The so-called monks are perverted beings. Not because they are monks, but because they have chosen the path of suppression, which is the wrong path, which leads nowhere. Jesus, Mahavir, or Buddha, they are following the path of witnessing. then Brahmacharya happens. This word Brahmacharya is very beautiful. The very word means the way the divine behaves, the way the divine behaves, Brahmacharya. It has nothing to say against sex. It is not against sex at all, the very word. The very word simply says this is the way how the divine acts, behaves, moves, walks. Once you have known the satori that is possible by witnessing sex act, your whole life will be transformed. You will start behaving like a god. What are the characteristics of the behavior of a god? How the divine behaves? One thing, he is not dependent. He is absolutely independent. He gives his love to you. But this is not a need. He gives out of his abundance. He has too much. You simply unburden him if you take it. But this is not a need. And the God is a creator. And whenever sex has become a transform force, your life becomes creative. Sex is creative force. Right now, it moves into biology. It creates new beings. It gives birth. When there is no sex and the energy is transforming, it moves into a new world of creativity. Then many new dimensions of creativity become open to you. Not that you will start painting or making poetry or doing something else. Not that. It may happen. It may not happen. But whatsoever you do will become a creative act. Whatsoever you do will become artistic. Even Buddha sitting under his Bodhi tree, not doing anything, is creative. The way he is sitting, the very way he is sitting there, he is creating a force, an energy, vibrations all around him. Much research has been done recently on Egyptian pyramids. And they have come to know many mysterious facts. One of the facts is the shape of the pyramid. The very shape is mysterious. Suddenly, scientists became aware that if you put a dead body in the pyramid, it will be preserved without any chemicals. Just the shape helps preservation. Then one scientist in Germany tried if the shape can do so much that the body is preserved automatically just by the shape, just the pressure of the shape. So he tried it on his razor blade. He made a small pyramid, cardboard pyramid, and tried it with his used razor blade. Within hours, the razor blade was again ready to be used. The shape has given sharpness again to the blade. Then he patented it. One razor blade can be used for the whole life. You just put it in the pyramid. Nothing is to be done. Just the shape gives sharpness again, again and again. Now scientists say that every shape gives a particular milieu, creates a particular milieu. A Buddha sitting under Bodhi tree, the way he sits, the posture, the gesture he sits, the very phenomena of his being there without any ego, he is creating millions of vibrations around. They will go on spreading. Even when this Buddha has disappeared from this tree, those vibrations will go on and on and on. They will touch other planets and other stars. And wherever a Buddha vibration touches, it is creative. It gives you a thrill. It gives you a new breeze. When sex energy is transformed, your whole life becomes creative, independent, free, creative. Whatsoever you do, you create through it. Even if you not do anything, even non-doing becomes creative. Just your very being creates much that is beautiful, that is true, that is good. Now the story. The old monk who says to the younger that this is against the rules. You should not have touched the girl. Is not only saying so because of the rules. Many things are implied. He is rationalizing. He is feeling jealous. And this is how human mind works. You cannot say directly that you are feeling jealous. The girl was standing, a beautiful girl, near the river. The sun was getting down and down, and the girl was afraid. And then came this old monk who was going to his monastery. He looked at the girl, because it is very difficult for a monk to miss a girl and not to look at. Very difficult for a monk. He is so much obsessed with women. He is fighting hard. He is constantly aware that the enemy is there in the woman. You can miss a friend, but you cannot miss an enemy. You have to see him. If you pass from the street and the enemy is there, it is impossible not to see him. Friends can be passed without even becoming aware that they are there. But enemies, no. Because with the enemy is the fear. And the beautiful girl is standing lonely, nobody else. And the girl wanted somebody should help her. The river is unknown, and she is afraid to cross it. This old man must have tried to close his eyes, must have tried to close his heart, must have tried to close his sex center, because that is the only protection against the enemy. He must have hurried. Then he must have avoided not looking back. But when you avoid, you look. When you try not to look, you are looking. His whole mind was filled with the girl. His whole being was around the girl. He was passing the river. But he was not aware of the river now. He cannot be. He was going to the monastery, but he was not interested in the monastery. The whole interest was left behind. And then suddenly he remembers that his colleague, another young monk, is coming. They had been on a begging tour. Then he looks back. And not only the young monk is there, the young monk is carrying the girl on his shoulders. This must have created a deep jealousy in the old man. This is what he would have wanted to do. Because of the rules, he couldn't do it. But he must take the revenge. And then they walked in silence for miles. And then at the monastery gate, the old man suddenly said, "This was not good. This is against the rules." That silence was false. For those miles together, the old man was thinking how to take the revenge, how to condemn this young man. He was continuously obsessed. Otherwise, nothing happens so suddenly. Mind is a continuity. For these 2-3 miles, he was continuously thinking what to do. And now he says, it is not sudden. Inside there has been a current, a running current. And he says, this is not good, against the rules. And I will have to say and report to the abbot, to the chief of the monastery, to the master. You have broken a rule, and a very basic rule, that no man should touch a woman. And you have not only touched, you have carried her on your shoulders. The young monk must have felt amazed so suddenly, because there was no girl now, no river, nobody carrying her. The whole thing has happened in the past, and 3 miles they have been completely silent. And the young monk said, I have left that girl on the bank of the river, but you are still carrying her. This is a deep insight. You can carry things which you are not carrying. You may be burdened with things which are not there. You may be crushed by things which don't exist. The old monk is on the path of repression. The young monk, just a symbol of an effort towards transformation. Because transformation accepts the woman, the man, the other. Because transformation has to happen through the other. The other will participate in it. Suppression, repression, rejects the other, is against the other. The other has to be destroyed. This story is beautiful. The new monk is the way. Don't become the old monks. Become the new. Accept life as it is. And try to be alert. This young monk must have remained alert while carrying the girl and the soldiers. And if you are alert, what the girl can do? There is a small anecdote. One monk is leaving Buddha. He is going on a tour to spread the message. So he asks Buddha, what should I do about women? Because that's always the problem with the monks. Buddha says, don't look at them. And this is the simplest way. Just close yourself. Don't look at them means just close yourself. Forget that they are. Alas, the problem is not so easy. Had it been so easy, then all those who know the how to close, they would have transformed. One of Buddha's disciples, Anand, who knows the problem is not so easy, For Buddha, it may look so easy. This is the problem. You come with a problem to me, it may be easy for me. But that is not going to help. Ananda knows Buddha has replied casually. Don't look at them. So easy for Buddha. Ananda says, but it is not so easy. And Bhagavan, he asks, if there is such a situation that we have to look, we cannot avoid, if we cannot avoid looking, then what is to be done? So Buddha says, don't touch. Look is also a touch through the eyes. You reach through the eyes and touch. That's why if you stare at a woman more than 3 seconds, then she will become uneasy. 3 seconds is the maximum limit. It is allowed. It is allowed because in life we have to look at each other. But more than 3 seconds, and the woman will become uneasy that you are touching her. Now you are using your eyes as hands. So Buddha says, don't touch. But Ananda is persistent. And Ananda has done such a great work for whole humanity. Because he will always persist. He said, and even sometimes there are situations when we have to touch. So what you say? The woman is ill. Or the woman has fallen on the street and there is nobody else to help. And we have to touch. If the situation is such, then what we should do? Then Buddha laughs and he says, then be alert. The last thing that Buddha says is the first. Closing the eyes won't help. Non-touching won't help. Because you can touch in imagination. You can see in imagination. A real woman is not needed. A real man is not needed. Just close the eyes. And you can have an imaginary world of women and men. And you can touch. And you can see. Finally, only one thing can help. Be alert. This old monk must not have heard about the holy story, about Buddha's all the 3 answers. He remained with the first 2. The young monk has understood the thing. Be alert. He must have come near the girl. Desire arises. Be alert that the desire has arisen. The problem is not the girl. Because how the girl can be your problem? She is her problem, not your problem. The desire arises in you. The desire for woman, that is the problem. And the girl is not at all the question. Any girl would have been. Any woman would do the same. That is just a point of reference. Seeing the girl, the desire has arisen. To be alert means to be alert of this desire, that the desire has come to me. Now, a man who is on the path of repression will suppress this desire, close his eyes towards the object and run away. That is a run away method. But where you can run? Because you are running from yourself. You can run from the woman that is standing on the river bank, but you cannot run from the desire that is arising within you. Wherever you go, the desire will be there. Be alert that the desire has arisen. Don't do anything with the woman, really. If she asks, help me, help her. If she says, I am afraid and I cannot cross this river, carry me on your shoulders, carry her. She is giving you a golden opportunity to be alert and be thankful towards her. And just be alert, feel what is arising in you, what is happening in you. You are carrying the girl, what is happening in you? If you are alert, then there is no woman, only a little weight on your shoulders, that's all. If you are not alert, then there is woman. If you are alert, then bones, pressing, weight. If you are not alert, then all that desire can create, the fantasy, the maya, the illusion. Carrying a girl on the soldiers, both are possible. If you lose for a single moment alertness, suddenly the maya is sitting on your soldiers. If you are alert, just a little weight, that's all. Carrying a weight. This young man passing the river was passing through a great discipline, not avoiding the situation that is life, not avoiding life, passing through it with an alert mind. Many times he may have missed, many times he may have completely forgotten, and then the whole illusion and the maya was there. Many times he may have recaptured again his alertness, and suddenly there is light and darkness disappears. But it had been, it must have been a beautiful experience to pass through this alertness. Then he dropped the girl on the other bank. He started walking towards his monastery. He's still alert. Because it is not a question that the woman is there or not. The memory can follow. He may not have enjoyed the woman, her touch, while passing the river. He may enjoy it now in the memory. He must have been remained alert. He was silent. His silence was true. True silence always comes through alertness. That's why he says, I have left the girl there, back at the river. I am not carrying her at all. You are still carrying her. In the old monk's mind, things are continuing. And he has not done anything, he has not even touched the girl. So doing is not the question. Mind, how your mind is functioning, be alert. And by and by, energies are transformed. The old dies and the new is born. Enough, dear?